good feeling though. Glad we can give you a breather. Good morning, church. It's good to be with you on this Sunday morning as we gather to praise God and worship together. A few announcements before we get started. If you take a gander in our fellowship hall this morning, you can see all that our old pews are finally gone. They've all been sold or donated to other churches and organizations in the county. So your pastor, after being a pew salesman these past 2 weeks, has reinforced his call to ministry after this experience, because being on Facebook Marketplace was fun enough as it was for 2 weeks. So enjoy these pews. They're going to be staying for a while, so just be comfortable. I want to appreciate all the people who took pews. That process went really as good as we could have hoped for, and it paid for our ability to move our pews down to the fellowship hall and also clean the sanctuary. So we were very impressed, and I think it was special to a lot of us on the joint board that a lot of these pews are going to different people throughout the community. The Foursquare Church in Yorksville took a couple. One of them, they might actually be donating to the Little Theater in town. So you may see one of Shenbrunn's old pews there. So it was a good balance of individuals who wanted some and some organizations that could use some. A few announcements. Youth, make sure you get your information in for Fall Retreat. Those of you that are going first weekend in November, we'll probably be leaving around noon that first Friday in November from Dover. And Monday is going to be a big night in the life of our church. We're going to have our card party, so make sure if you signed up to bring stuff for there or to volunteer, that will be at 6. And then elders are meeting at 7 p.m. during the card party. Spiritual companioning is from 7 to 8 on Wednesday night, with an optional bring your own meal at 6:30. Once again, that is open to anybody. Our sessions are not successive, so you're welcome to join us anytime and just experience what spiritual companioning is about. But 7 to 8 on Wednesday night. Our CEC Halloween party will be Saturday, next Saturday from 7 to 9. Great opportunity there. There will be snacks, games, and costumes, fun for the entire family. And good news for all of you, the Wisconsin Badgers and Ohio State Buckeyes play at noon, not at 8 p.m., so you'll have plenty of time to see me drown my sorrows watching my Badgers lose and then recover in time for the Halloween party. One other thing I wanted to share, we had a great planning meeting for our mission trip. We already have over a dozen people who are interested in possibly going. I cannot officially announce where we're going for a week or two, but I may say that you may want to pack your cheese heads if we're going on this mission trip someplace, a place that might be a little cooler, nice to go in the summer, a mission opportunity there. We're excited. I think we're going to have a good crew. If you're interested in doing that, it really is going to be a great opportunity, because it was very affordable for us to go to Texas. I think those who went on that team said it was about $250 to $300 after all the fundraising, and that was with an airline flight. This time we're potentially driving to Wisconsin. I'll give you the state, but I won't give you the specific location. We'll be driving to Wisconsin, so it could be even more affordable for people who are interested in doing this. So if money is a thing that's keeping you from doing that, I think this is going to be a great opportunity to serve, to learn a lot about our community, and we'll have more information about that. And then the last thing I wanted to note in your bulletin, our emphasis in stewardship this month of October. And this week we're emphasizing, we put in a percentage giving chart in your bulletin. Let me pull it out. The reason we put this in is we're not a church that enforces a certain percentage of tithing or anything like that, but we just want to give you the opportunity to be aware of kind of some of the math of what percentage your tithe is out of the basis of your income, and just to give you an idea of where you're at. And one of our goals as we think about our financial stewardship of our church is us on the joint board, we would really like to challenge people to just step up in October, November, and December and try to go 1% up and think about that. What an impact that could make. Because so often we hear big numbers when it comes to church finances and we think that we can't make a difference. But if every family in the church went 1% up, that can make a huge difference in our financial stewardship of our church. And we always encourage people to give what you can, when you can. There are no strict enforcements on that. Your pastor does not know how much you financially give. I do not want to know how much you financially give. I want to be here as your spiritual server. But this is for you to challenge yourself to think about ways that you can increase your financial stewardship of your church. Does anybody else have any other announcements to share? All right, let us stand and greet one another.
Morning, Leticia.
Would you be okay reading the psalm, too?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask one of the Martin girls. You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword for the week. Our watchword this week comes from the second chapter of Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2. Proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. Amen. You may be seated.
Please rise for the call to worship.
Let us call on the Lord in our distress.
Save us, O Lord, from long past.
Too long have we failed to share of your everlasting peace.
May God's peace be felt in our hearts and spoken from our lips.
Please remain standing as we join together to sing praise to God.
Thank you.
Please remain standing and join with me in the general liturgy found on page 1. O Lord, our Lord, the greatness is seen in all the world.
We give thanks to you, for you are good. Your love is eternal.
We glorify you, majestic Lord.
We praise your holy name.
Sacrifice which you desire is a humble spirit. O God, you will not reject a humble and repentant heart.
If we confess our sins, you are just and will keep your promise. You will forgive our sins and you will purify us from all wrongdoing.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, humbly confessing our sins. You may be seated. Most holy, almighty God, our Savior,
we confess our disobedience. We, like sheep, have gone astray, all of us turning to our own way. We have sinned and have done wrong. The good that we knew to do, we have not done. We know that we have been unworthy servants and have fallen short of your glory. Help us to deliver us.
Thus says the Lord, I, even I, am the God who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Go and sin no more. Please rise. Lord, make us one in spirit with all your people as we profess our faith, saying, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we think about our offering today, our message we'll hear from the story of Jacob in Genesis about God's willingness to be present in our adversity. And we too remember that in our relationship with God, we are with him in every step, in the good times, the bad times, and the difficult times, knowing that in each stage of life, there's an opportunity to give to God and to give to God graciously. So let us now give of our tithes, offerings, and gifts.
Please rise.
Save our creature, dear.
Let us pray together. Gracious God,
help us to give with grateful hearts as we look upon all that you do for our world. Help us to give thanks and praise in all times and circumstances.
Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of reflection and a time of prayer as we communicate with God. We raise Clara Gorby in our prayer concerns. She was released from Union Hospital last Thursday with a brief illness. Pray for her strength and her recovery, and for Tony and Kylie as they help her on that road to recovery. We pray for Linda Bonnell, whose cancer has returned. She has more appointments in this upcoming week to determine her treatment path. We pray for you, your family, for all your loved ones, your medical team, as they surround you and know that we are all in this together. For Jeff, Amy's friend, he had a pacemaker surgery scheduled. It wasn't to replace his pacemaker, but it was to add like a timer to it of some type. That was rescheduled because he had a low blood count. But they're hoping to have that surgery next Friday, so we pray for him as well. Prayers of joy for Pastor Chris Johnson. She has accepted the call to College Hill Moravian in Bethlehem, right across the street from Moravian College. It's actually the church that Pastor Dave Geyer just left to come to the Valley, so it appears a trade has been made. but her call will begin in December, and we pray for her and the College Hill Church in this time of transition. Chelsea, we also offer prayers of joy for Chelsea and Cooper Hale, who were married here yesterday. Joe Delcoma, Cooper is Joe's Delcoma's nephew. They're a great couple. It was a great process, and Martha's nephew as well. They're a great couple. We're excited for them. A lot of joy with them. They actually left this morning for their honeymoon, so God bless them and the energy that they have. But we offer them prayers of joy as they start their lives together. I want to thank Denny and Paula for all their help with that. My wife, Emily, ask her how she became a part of the wedding party after church, and she'll have a good story to tell you. some other prayers that we want to share with you. We think of Jack Ream, who's in the Columbus Hospital with back problems. Many of you may not recognize that name, but Jack is a huge force in our community with our homeless shelters, with the food pantries. He's got to be, what, over 80, Floyd? He's still going strong, doing all these community organizations. So please keep Jack in your prayers. Birthday wishes for Mr. Jim Karcher, who is turning 80. So congratulations. Let's all give Jim a round of applause. So I think you still get a few years in the church youth group yet, but 85 is when we'll cut you off. we also offer prayers of joy. Emily's brother, Evan, is completing his active duty for 4 years next week, and he'll be moving back home to Bethlehem next week, and will be starting classes at Moravian College this next fall. So we're thankful for his service, and we're excited about what his future holds for him. And then Emily also wanted to offer prayers for a coworker whose family is going through a difficult time. Her daughter is struggling with illness, so we also uplift them in prayer at this time. So let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you today and with mixed emotions. We have so many concerns and so many joys to share with you. But as we think about all these different things that you impact, may it remind us that in each step, the good and the bad, the difficult and the easy, you, God, are with us. And remind us of that. Because we think especially of Linda and Jeff and Jack and Emily's coworker and her daughter. Gracious God, help them to see that even in the midst of darkness, you are a light in the vast, just flickering, reminding people that there is hope, that there is a way out, and you, God, will be with them every step of the way. And help us to pay attention to our world, to be agents of love and reconciliation. When we think about the message that you carry with us today, we think about the story of Jacob who will wrestle with God. Help us to remember that story reminds us that you are a God of presence, a God who reaches out to touch us in our lives. So when we think about all the difficult circumstances, help us to remember that we are marked by you, God, as children of Abraham, that we know that in our covenant that we are hardwired for resiliency, for strength, and ultimately for love. So may the faith, hope, and love that you give us be shared throughout all of your creation. In your wonderful and gracious name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 31. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It was because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. The second scripture comes from Psalms 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord has your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Thank you, Letitia. Our gospel today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8, the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. Nick, you want to help me?
joyful noise has already begun.
We're going to put these down for a little bit. Aubrey, you want to grab one of these for me? Thank you. Two? All right, perfect. We're going to set these down in the corner. Actually, we're going to put these in the corner. We're going to leave them for a little bit, and then we're going to come back to them. Perfect. All right. How's everybody doing this week? Is anybody doing any fall sports? Anything fun? What are you doing, Tyler? Basketball? Brandon, what are you doing? Are you doing soccer? Basketball, okay. Rylan? Okay. What sport? Nice. Aubrey, what are you doing?
Indoor soccer.
Indoor soccer. Nice. It's a good time of year to try some of those sports. So what we're going to talk about today is adversity. Does anybody know what that word means? Brandon, you want to try? It means it's a challenge. It means something that's tough in your life, that's hard to do. So I want to ask all of you, what are some of the toughest challenges, some of the toughest things you've had to learn how to do? Aubrey? Math can be hard. Rylan?
Being able to actually score a touchdown in football.
Being able to score a touchdown in football. Yeah, Cleveland Brown struggle with that lesson every week. Brandon? What about learning how to tie our shoes? Was that a tough one for anybody? That was a tough one for me.
It took me like 5 years.
5 years? That's pretty good. That's faster than me. Brandon, what were you going to say? Sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
Division.
That's tough. Nick? Was that English? Yeah, that can be a tough one. Brandon? What about bike? Anybody have trouble learning how to ride a bike? Did that take anybody a while? It took me a while to do it without the training wheels. Yeah, Aubrey?
Next week when I'm 6, I'm going to get my training wheels. I'll see if I can have my training
wheels. That's okay. It's going to come. It's going to come. So what helped you? What helped you get through those challenges? Rylan? That's good, throwing the football back and forth with your mom. What else helps with challenges? Aubrey?
If you're in school and you're having trouble with the math quiz or something,
you can ask for help, right?
You can ask for help.
Yeah. Cool. Nick, what were you going to say? That's okay. So if you screw up something the first time you try something really hard, do you quit?
No.
What do you do?
Keep at it.
You keep trying. That's what we're going to talk about. So I need somebody who's going to volunteer. And you don't even know what you're volunteering for yet. So. All right. Tyler, you know what you're volunteering for? You're going to arm wrestle me right now, okay? So we're going to get down here. We're going to get down. All right, Tyler. So Tyler's going to be by himself, and he's arm wrestling me. Do you think that's going to be easy or hard?
Probably a little hard.
It's going to be hard. Why? Because I'm bigger than him. I'm an adult, right? I should be able to hold my own. All right, so Tyler, you ready?
No.
Stretch. On the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, man. Oh, man. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I came from behind. I got Tyler. All right. Tyler needs some. Would somebody be willing to help Tyler? All right, Nick, Brandon. All right, hold on. We're going to let Nick and Brandon do it. And then Aubrey and Rylan are going to help the next time.
Go.
So on the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, my goodness. You guys are better than I thought you would be. Aubrey, Rylan, you want to help them now? They need some help. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, you won. Good job. Give them a round of applause. Are you okay, Aubrey? So why were you able to beat me on that last time? Nick, you had help. So what's the best way to defeat a difficult challenge, Rylan?
You have help.
You have help. And who can help you?
Friends.
Friends? And who else? Tyler? Parents? Go even higher?
God.
God can help you. And so remember that. Whenever you get a challenge that seems scary and you're not going to be able to beat it, your friends can help you, God can help you, and neighbors can help you, whatever. Okay. All right. On that note, we're going to switch to joyful noise. So I'm going to need your help. We're raising money for Harbor House this month. So if you can help out with that, that'd be appreciated. Put your hand in the air if you didn't have a chance to give for the joyful noise. So we work our way around. Somebody's going to have to get Letitia up front. Who's got wheels? Nick, can you come up? Can you get Letitia? Nick. Riley? Wait. Oh, there we go. Go for it, yeah. There you go. All right, bring it on up. Brandon, thank you all very much. Be careful. That's going to help a lot of people. Gentle. Thank you. It's going to help a lot of people. All right, we're going to take a deep breath and have a moment of prayer. Let's get in our circle and pray. Ready? You're good. Okay. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these children, bless them throughout their week, and help them to realize that no matter what challenges come their way, you, God, will help them, their neighbors will help them, and their family will help them. And that makes any challenge we have possible, because we are grateful to have a God who makes all the impossible things in life possible for each and every one of us. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. Good job. Go ahead and grab a snack. Oh, gentle. All right, you may remain seated as we join together in song.
apostles and so on. So before we get into our message today, I want to ask this hymn that we just sang. It was about Psalm 121. Does anybody know what movie made that psalm famous? To the hills I lift my eyes? Sound of Music. There we go, Kaylin got the Sound of Music. Yeah, Mother Superior says that in there. But that musical really actually brought Psalm 121 to life and is one of the reasons it's one of the most popular psalms we hear. Let's take a moment and pray. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you inspire today and help us to be carriers of not only faith, of love, and may it infect our actions and our choices every single day. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So in our message today, we're going to focus on our Old Testament lesson, the story of Jacob. The story of Jacob wrestling with God, because this is a great story to look at theologically. Because it challenged our concept that God is a bearded guy in the clouds, just kind of moving the pawn pieces wherever God wants to be. In this story we get from Jacob, God wants to be invested in our life, in our experiences. God is not afraid to get his hands dirty with the people that he has created. And Jacob, in this story, to give you a little background, is at an absolute crossroads in his life. In modern terms, he is facing his midlife crisis. He has burned every bridge possible in his life. Because he starts out as a young man, and he tricks his twin brother Esau out of his inheritance. And with his mother's help, he not only tricks him out of his inheritance, he tricks him out of his father's blessing, which is a huge deal in Hebrew culture. And he went so far to connive his father that he pretended to have a beard like his brother Esau did. So he had his mother glue goat skin to his face to feel like he had a nice, scratchy beard. And so that happens, and what do you think Esau's response to that is? He's not a very happy camper, and Jacob is forced to flee from his homeland to the land of his mother Rebekah. And he goes to Rebekah's brother Laban in Haran. And Laban is a very nice guy. He offers Jacob sanctuary, and he offers him his two daughters in marriage. And how does Jacob repay Laban? He starts conning Laban into giving him his best livestock. And he has this long strategy. Jacob is a very smart but kind of weaselly figure at this moment. But Laban figures it out, and Jacob realizes that he has lost the favor of his father-in-law. So Jacob decides that he has ruined his opportunity here, so he has to head back to his homeland, his last resort. So we're at a point in Jacob's life where this is a day of reckoning. The scripture does not do this story justice when it simply says, after he sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. Alone. Utterly alone. And think about how isolated Jacob felt in that moment. He was a twin. That meant even in his mother's womb, he had the company of somebody else beside him. He was the apple of his mother's eye. His wives adored him and competed for his favor. Yet here he was. He was not welcomed in the land of his brother. He was not welcomed in the land of his father-in-law. In that moment, he had no one to cling to and no place to call home. He was the prodigal son before there was a prodigal son. He was nothing. He was sitting at a crossroads in his life. And he had to ask himself, what type of person am I going to be from this moment forward? What type of person am I going to be? And I think all of us can relate to that feeling. We have all hit rock bottom at one point or another. What have been the difficult moments in your life that you thought you would never recover from? That you thought you would be left utterly alone? Whether it be spiritually, emotionally, physically, or financially. Sometimes we hit rock bottom in all those categories at once. And that's what we call a crisis. And during a crisis, we feel vulnerable. We feel weak. We feel powerless. We feel about 6 inches tall during a crisis. But in this crisis, it is God who comes to Jacob at his weakest and most vulnerable moment, not to punish Jacob, but to remind him how strong he is as a child of God. God wrestles with Jacob, physically wrestles. And God reminds Jacob he did not create his children to be weak and to stay down on the mat. God created us to be strong and resilient people. And if God did not hardwire his children to handle adversity, then he never would have let us leave the Garden of Eden. Because God knew that creation could be a difficult opportunity. And author Rick Rigsby said, when you hit rock bottom, remember that while you're struggling, rock bottom can also be a great foundation on which to build and on which to grow. You can really be shaped and molded in that circumstance. God helped Jacob survive rock bottom, not by waving his magic wand and fixing all of Jacob's problems, but reminding Jacob he equipped him with all he would need in his life. He renamed him and reclaimed him as his own, Israel, one who wrestles with God and perseveres. We are the children of Israel. And we need those God moments in our lives to remind us of our strength, because our faith can be such a very fragile thing. It can be very fragile. And God's voice could be heard in Jacob's life when he was a fetus in his mother's womb, when a blessing was offered upon Jacob, when he was told that he was going to be the heir, not his brother. A lot of life, and then also in this moment when he wrestled with God. He got to experience God in those two moments. But a lot of life happened for Jacob between when he was a little baby to when this moment came that he wrestled with God. So we have to ask ourselves as Christians, as believers, what do we do on our faith journey when we are between the big God moments in our life, when we're stuck in between those? You know, the days we are not necessarily having a faith crisis, but our hearts and our minds do not feel the presence of the Holy Spirit among us, the days that are difficult to pray on. Theologian Renita Weems said, faith is what you do between the last time you experience God and the next time you experience God. Faith is what you do between the last time you experience God and the next time you experience God. And I love that definition, because it's so easy to misinterpret moments of faith with moments of experience. For example, think about this biblically. When Paul is converted on the road to Damascus, and when Abraham is promised his son Isaac, think about those two very big biblical moments. Those are deeply spiritual, connecting to God moments. But I would not necessarily call them moments of faith. They are moments where they got to experience and feel God in the flesh. They had first-person example. And faith was not needed for Paul until he left Damascus, when he had to figure out, who am I? What is my mission? How am I going to serve this risen Lord that came to me in the flesh? And faith was not needed for Abraham until he became an elderly parent to a newborn. We just read his story in confirmation today. But imagine, 99 years old, holding a newborn for the first time, your child. Imagine how much faith was needed in that moment. Because faith is what we cling to when there is nothing tangible in the flesh left to cling to. And that is why Jesus tells Thomas, blessed are those who have seen and not believe. And that's a message for all of us who don't have those firsthand God moments. But we have faith to rely on. Because faith sustains us and keeps us on the righteous path, even when our spiritual gas tank is close to empty. Faith allows us to wrestle with God when we struggle to see his presence in our life. Faith allows us to see the big picture, even when we keep our eyes closed to the light in our world. Faith is powerful and impactful. And we don't face, just because we're Christians, we don't face our challenges in life unscathed. We don't get through those challenges perfectly. And neither did Jacob. Think about his story. He walked every day for the rest of his life with a limp in his hip. You could see every single day on Jacob the impact that his spirituality had on him. But he still had the courage to wrestle with God. And many of us have scars or limps or even invisible walls that we have put up to protect ourselves after some of our battles in this world. But the important thing to remember is we have no need to be ashamed of that, because it's what marks us as children of God. And our scars and our limps and our difficult circumstances remind us that in our DNA, God hardwired us to be survivors. God hardwired each and every one of you to be survivors. We are children of Israel. Children of Israel. Our spirits are far from perfect, but my goodness, we are resilient to our core. That is what has allowed the children of Israel to survive for so long. And we need to remember that between the big God moments in our life, between those big gaps, we have to remember that we are strong in our core. And when our faith feels weak, we need to remember that it is God who supplies the strength. It is God who is willing to come down and give us the talk or the physicality that we need. And just remember that, because if you don't think you're strong enough to be a Christian, to be a believer, to be a disciple, just ask God about it. And I guarantee you, he will wrestle you in one way or another, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, or mentally. God will find a way to show you that you are strong enough to carry his message, to carry his purpose, to carry his mission, which is to love one another as God loved us. So we remember the story of Jacob, the one who is willing to wrestle with God. And we remember that it's okay for us to wrestle with God when we struggle with circumstances. Just remember that we are much stronger, we are much more faithful, and we are much more resilient than we realize. So may we carry the strength, the faith, and the love in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we think about the story of Jacob, we are so grateful for your presence in our world. Sometimes we struggle and ask why we don't get to see that physical presence of you in our lives the way Jacob did. But we know that you are there, that you provide the faith for us to see it. So help us to pay attention. Because sometimes life is hard, sometimes life is difficult, and we're trying to figure out our place. So let us not see the weakness that we have, but the strength that you provide. For we are children of Israel. So help us to remain strong, resilient, and faithful in our lives. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. At this moment, let us please stand as we join together to sing Blessed Assurance.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.